هون لگل اس بی اس راژیو بشی کردینا.
Risk Alley Foundation is an Australian-based charity organisation established with the aim to help refugees in Kurdistan. To tell us more, we have Kawa Kurdistan, the director and founder of Risk Alley Foundation, with us today. Kawa, thanks so much for joining SBS Kurdish.
Thank you for having me.
If you could tell us a little bit, how did Risk Alley Foundation came to be?
The reason I started the organisation was because first after the Turkish invasion of Rojava, I felt very upset and very angry, as most Kurds did. And I really wanted to help in some way, because I know that a lot of those people would flee into South Kurdistan to seek refuge. And those refugee camps in South Kurdistan were already in quite poor state, and they were already over capacity, and resources aren't really going into the area very quickly. I also found out that that there's very little investment, almost nothing, that comes from Australia to that region to help with Kurdish refugees, and I wanted to bridge that gap.
So you now have registered this organisation in Australia as a charity, or...?
We're currently working on that now, and the reason why there's a few hoops to jump through, because the Australian government makes it a little bit difficult to work in Kurdistan because it's a very high-risk area.
Sure.
But the opposite of that is you're dealing with the most vulnerable people in the world. So once we are registered, we'll be under a PBI status charity, and that's quite good for companies to use as a tax exemption scheme. So it works very well in that way.
Yeah. So you've recently visited South Kurdistan, where you paid visits to refugee camps and met with other NGOs that work on the ground there. Could you tell us a little bit about what you were able to achieve as a result?
Yeah, sure. I met with Barzani Charity Foundation. They were and we needed a candidate partner to minimize risk with being there, because an NGO that already has infrastructure and programs in place to deal with refugees, dealing with them immediately minimizes risk. But Barzani Charity Foundation was like the obvious candidate. They already manage 30 of the camps there, and they do incredible work. So I met with them, and we discussed our plans, and we reached a business agreement so that we can operate together. Risk Alley Foundation will act as the financial arm of business plans that we both work on together, and we both act as oversight whilst Barzani Charity Foundation implements that business plan under our financial support.
Is there a particular service or help that you like to focus on for refugees?
I really fundamentally believe that education is the most important. I'm sure many people agree. It's a way of ending the poverty cycle. You know, lack of education breeds poverty. But that being said, there's no one issue there that requires more urgent attention than the other. Like, there's food shortages, there's water shortages, there's security risk, and obviously also very, very basic education standards, and also many children don't even receive the education because a lot of those programs are still in their infancy. And in our company charter, we focus on all four of those areas that I mentioned. So I think they're all incredibly important, and yeah, they all need funding urgently.
Sure. If you could just kind of paint the picture for those who, you know, we see a lot in the media about these refugee camps, about the, especially those who follow Kurdish media and the plight of the Kurdish refugees. What you actually saw with your own eyes, how would you describe the situation or the condition of these refugee camps?
Well, it depends on which refugee camp you go to. Like, we were at Gawilan refugee camp, and that's close to Erbil. And that camp's been there for many years, and the people there are also from Rojava, but they're fleeing the Syrian civil war. And they, you know, like, it looks almost like a small town. They've done an incredible job with it. They've developed it well, and people live reasonably well there. And because they all speak Kurmanji, they prefer to stay at the camp rather than going out. And they of course, they want to go back to Rojava, but they're very happy, actually, at the camp themselves. I saw that with my own eyes. But unfortunately, the situation in most of the camps is considerably worse than I ever imagined. And I'm quite close to the issue. So I was shocked at the state of some of the people. For example, in Bardarash camp, we walked past some children, and it was sub 10 degrees. And I was wearing two jackets to just try and stay warm, and these children, like this group of children, were trying to just run around and play, but they only have a t-shirt and no shoes on, and some of their toes are going like black from the cold, and it's just unfathomable amounts of suffering, unfortunately. The NGOs themselves that are currently working there do an incredible job. They do the best they can with what they're resourced with, but they need more help. They really, really need more help.
Let's talk a little bit about your background. So you're currently living in Tasmania, but where are you originally from in Kurdistan, and how long have you lived in Australia?
Well, I would say I'm a typical diaspora Kurd, because the only time I visited Kurdistan, any part of it, was this trip that I've been on. My parents are from Bakur. My mum is from Dersim. My dad's from Malatya. And they were both very political as well. They fled Bakur, and I was born in Holland, and then I moved to Australia when I was one, so I have naturally dual citizenship between Australian and Dutch, and yeah, I grew up here in Australia for most of my life, so.
And how's living in Tasmania? I believe there wouldn't be as many Kurds as other parts of the country.
I think Tasmania is quite scarce in Kurdish pop. So if there's Kurds listening, please move to Tassie. we want a proper Neverals down here.
All right. So how long have you lived in Tasmania?
I've been here coming up on 6 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's great. I love Tassie. It's very peaceful and relaxed, but maybe I'll be moving to Melbourne soon because it's maybe too peaceful and relaxed for me.
So what work do you actually do?
Currently I'm studying full-time. I'm doing criminology, but I'm going to switch over to international relations. I think that's more catered to my interests. And I also work for my parents' cafe, which is great. yeah.
Excellent. What are the plans and projects that you may have for the near future and you're hoping to achieve through Arisgari Foundation?
So currently we're working on a demonstrative project with Barzani Charity Foundation to repair the community kitchen in Bardarash camp, because those over 10,000 people that live there all live in tents and they cook with kerosene, and over the winter the turbulent weather and floods have, you know, cause a lot of the tents to ignite. So people are reluctant to cook in their tents anymore. So, and the community kitchen is really, you can't meet that demand. So we're working on a project together to repair and upgrade that facility so that hundreds more per day have access to hot food, because currently very few have access to hot food. And yeah, that's something we're working on together. We have a GoFundMe set up about it. We're only crowdfunding at the moment because we're not yet a registered charity, but once we're a registered charity, donations will come through companies.
Kao Kurdistan, thank you so much for your time today, and we wish you all the very best in the great work that you do. I'm sure it'll be much appreciated by all the refugees that you can help. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Like baka, para baka, tebniya khabnifsina. SBS Kurdi lsar Facebook bshobina.